Okay, we're moving toward the cessation end of the retreat. It's Friday today. A couple full days of practice, and then Sunday, the final day. Just encourage everybody to not be leaping forward too far ahead. Use the time that we have to maintain the continuity of the practice that we've been developing, to build on the momentum that we've all been gathering. Sometimes the mind of course is always looking for some sort of escape, and to give yourself a good anchor to inhabit and to help maintain kind of like the ballast of the retreat, the ballast of your practice. That's why I think that contemplation of the body is so important. It really helps to give a good anchor, a good ballast, keep a certain steadiness within the practice, within the mind. You know, it's so easy for moods and impressions and impulses to blow through the mind, and we get pulled along behind them, dragged along. So that by using the body as a base for one's mindfulness and contemplation, investigation, then there's it's a great opportunity, not just for trying to compose the mind or restrain the mind from its impulses, but as a means of getting a solid insight into the nature of the truth that the Buddha was teaching. It's by contemplating and investigating the body the body displays exactly the same characteristics and truths as, say, the nature of mind. But, of course, I think it's a bit easier to discern. I'm thinking particularly the anatta, the truth of not-self. Of course, this is it's a really distinguishing characteristic of the Buddha's teachings. It sets the Buddha's teaching apart from pretty much all other philosophies and religions and spiritual teachings. The Buddha, this radical insight into the nature of existence, that it was this not-self. And it goes against the feeling, the intuition, your basic assumption of experience. It comes from that self position, and the Buddha has us question it, look at it, reflect on it, investigate it. Last night we chanted the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. And that was the insight that tipped the five first disciples. They'd already had an insight into the Four Noble Truths in the story of after the Buddha's awakening, because he gave that first sermon, the Dhammacakka Sutta, and Kondanya was the only one of the five to realize truth, a realized stream entry. And after that, they continued living in the deer park at Isipatana, and the Buddha would kept instructing and advising and encouraging, and sometimes, as it said, sometimes just two or three of them monks would go off for alms round, collect alms round, share it with the others, and the Buddha would stay back and give instruction to the ones that are still back, and slowly each of the other of those five first disciples gained insight into stream entry. And it doesn't specify exactly how long that process took place, days, weeks, hard to say, almost certainly not months, but by the account it could be days, could be weeks. But then when all five of them were had this grounding in right view, right understanding, then the Buddha gave that discourse that we chanted last night on the characteristic of not self. And it was that exposition and perspective to reflect on that constituents of existence, body, feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness, as this is not mine, I am not this, this is not myself. And that seeing that characteristic of not self at the end of that discourse, and all five of them were liberated, fully liberated. In the actual application of that not self perspective, the contemplation of the body is just really helpful. Just recognize it, because it's kind of in our face anyway, and we choose to overlook it. And so, I remember Ajahn Chah, this very simple statement of, we only rent these bodies, we don't own them, and certainly don't have rent control. So that that's a all right, yeah. Whenever the owner or kama comes on and says, time to move out, you got to move, you got to go. So that they say, it really is not, really not self. So those contemplations on not-self, and then particularly reflecting, using the body as a basis, is where another image that Ajahn Chah uses with not-self. He said it's sort of like when you have murky water or water from the well or a stream or something, and you take that murky water and then you filter it, and what you get is clean water. And he said, what happens when you filter yourself is you filter anatta out of atta. You filter that not-self out of all of the assumptions and clingings and attachments to self. And that it's just that process of filtering and taking out what is actually real, what is true. That sense of not-self is not a negation or a trying to annihilate self in some way. It's just seeing that. And in the same way, seeing the way, we never owned it anyway. And similarly, it's like that was just an assumption of self. It really wasn't. It's like if you're in the nighttime and you have a dream, and you have this dream of all the, especially if you're on retreat and you're dreaming of all the, some sort of food that you're going to eat. You assume it's reality, But then when you wake up, it just wasn't there anything. It wasn't there. It just was as tantalizing and delicious as it looked in the dream. It was an assumption. So that, very similar, that whole assumption of selfhood. You know, we build up this sense of self through our experience, mental and physical. And, one of the contemplations that's very helpful for reinforcing or supporting the non-self contemplation is contemplation of the elements. In Buddhist perspective, you have your four primary elements: earth element, water element, fire element, air element. And these are, how do you say, they're not, when you say earth element, it's not just sort of clods of earth sort of thing, but it's they are particular characteristics, properties. So the property, when we say earth element, is the property of, say, of solidity, the property of something that is kind of tangible, takes up space, has some kind of form to it. And that's the what one calls the earth element. The water element is the element of what is fluid, flows, or what is also cohesive, an element of cohesion, binds things together. Fire element is the element of, let's say, of caloricity, in the sense of heat or cold. Also, is the, say, in terms of function, what helps to mature or to maintain or to digest food. So it's a fire element. So these are just ways of looking at these primary elements in existence. The air element being the element of, I'll say, of either pushing or supporting. It sort of displays itself in a certain way. Of course, then it's the in-breath, out-breath, wind outside. Yes, there is that air element, but it has a certain characteristic or property, and that of either kind of pushing or supporting. So that these are primary elements to be contemplating, and how we experience them, what they feel like. Contemplating that sense of elements, just internalizing it in the body, how we experience it. In the Satipatthana Sutta, the image that the Buddha gives is of a butcher or a butcher's apprentice who's got a cow at the crossroads and he's sort of carving up this cow for sale. And the Buddha says, similarly, one takes one's body and says, well, this is earth element, this is water element, just sort of separating it out, carving it apart, parsing it out, and experiencing it in a slightly different way, just in terms of, oh, these are elements. And as we contemplate our own physical existence, and that's those, like in the 32 parts of the body, hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin, various internal organs, whatnot, heart, lungs, liver, kidneys, whatnot. Those are all earth element in the sense that they're somewhat solid, they take up space, and they're earth element. Water element, the different fluids. And it does, it gives an opportunity to look at it. Okay, these are just elements: blood, sweat, fat, tears, all different fluids that are in the body. They're just a water element, a fluid element. And it's like in the retreat, Right now there's a cold going around. There's an excess of water element there. Being blown out from time to time. rather than say, I've got this miserable cold. I wish I didn't have this cold. If only I didn't have this cold, I could breathe. And I said, okay. And I said, it's a water element. This is not mine. I am not this. This is not myself. And especially you look in a tissue and say, I really want to identify with this. we can take exception to it. We can oh, poor me. There I am in my tissue. But yeah, it's just water element. And bringing it back to the point of a contemplation on these elements. The fire element, and heat, and especially the experience of heat or coal, it's that we all experience it differently, but it's just fire element. You come into the space of a meditation hall and internally, externally, there's always a feeling of, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's just the fire element. It's changeable, it's inconstant, it's not satisfactory, it's not self. It's just the fire element. It's just such a helpful contemplation for cutting through the assumptions of me that we carry with us. The air element, it's the in and out breath, is a constant reminder of that, the air element. And as we contemplate both the internal manifestation of the elements, the external manifestation of the elements, when realizing, of course, it's all the same. It's just these elements, this play of elements. As we inhabit the world around us, we either are drawn to something that is beautiful or pleasant in terms of display of nature. We don't particularly like either it's, say, the weather changes, it makes it somewhat uncomfortable, but it's elements. Or there's some kind of, you can hear you're outside, it's off in the distance, a ways away, you can hear that kind of the bustle of the freeway, and modern civilization is around us, but it's just elements. So if we hone in on the things that we crave for, or we hone in on the things that we are averse to, those moods obsess the mind. If we're able to draw our attention to the actual manifestation of these elements, then it takes on a kind of a neutral tone, in the sense, or at least there's a, even if it's not neutral, at least it's got an avenue of release there. One can allow the perception to be drawn to that quality of not self. And that's where the heart can be really peaceful. It's allowing things to be as they are in nature. This is natural. I remember one time living in, I was in solitude and living and practicing on my own. And I was about a year, I guess, in along this border area of Thailand, along the Burmese border. And it's during the monsoon season, and just had a very rough kind of a hut, very exposed to the elements, but you know, enough to keep the rain off. And incredibly lush forests and jungle and dramatic hills around. And then he was contemplating elements and really, just really feeling that sense of non-separation as being another element of nature within nature. And that's really all we are, even though all of our memories, perceptions, feelings, thoughts keep separating us from reality and truth. The actual opportunity for experiencing that reality, truth of just play of the elements is it's always available. And of course, it doesn't have to be in some pristine natural setting. It's happening. It's actually how we are all the time. Is how we are right now. As we sit here and both internally and externally, earth element, water element, fire element, air element. This is not mine. I am not this. This is not myself. And it's a very direct, a very direct contemplation. You know, as we're sitting, you know, we can, you know, as I say, sitting and meditating with our breath, we can be attentive to just how we, because it can turn into an abstraction if we're not careful. So it's important to make it tangible. And just that sense of say, with the air element, the feeling of pushing, supporting. You know, how do we experience our body? Say, as we breathe in, there's a feeling. There's a feeling at the top of the head. Just a feeling of kind of a light feeling. I mean, not pushing, crushing down, pushing. Just a light feeling of pushing. One breathes in, it's part of the air element manifesting. The sensation of the chest sort of expanding, it's a pushing. The stomach expands, it's a pushing that expands. Of course, at the same time, there's a, you know, we're sitting up straight, mostly, and and there's a supporting there. I think, well, that's the manifestation of the air element. And so that we can be tapping into that air element rather than getting too obsessed with, you know, trying to regulate the breath, trying to get the breath this way or that way, trying to, how should it feel, how should it be? It's sort of, it's just the air element. And there's a, very comfortable releasing there. That we can just, there's just these elements. It's that feeling of pushing, expanding, supporting. And it's just the air element as we breathe in, as we breathe out. As we sit here, the experience say, of the earth element is just the it manifests in different ways, sort of like hardness, softness. It's how the earth element manifests. There's a hardness or a soft, and it's complement to what it's soft, and so because it takes up space. And a feeling of rough or smooth. There's a feeling of kind of weight in terms of, say, heavy or light, but it's just earth element. And say, as one's just sitting and contemplating earth element and tapping into the experience of earth element, and say, okay, hard. I mean, it's easy to experience, say, well, you know, so it's hard. So when sitting there touching one's tongue to one's teeth, and say, okay, those are hard. That's a experience of the earth element. And what is soft? So as one's sitting, just putting one's tongue just in front of the teeth at the back of the lip. So it's soft. Okay, it's an earth element. It's how it manifests. Hard and soft, rough and smooth, and just again, you're touching the with the tongue along the edge of the front teeth, or the lower teeth, along the edge, it's rough, it's smooth. Just using the tongue to feel along the lips as they're moist, it's very smooth. So that these are just how the earth element manifests, heavy or light. This feeling as one's sitting, one has one's hands in one's lap. And you can feel the pressure of your hands coming down on your, say, on your upper thigh, top of the leg. There's a weight there. It's heavy. The earth element manifests in a presence of weight. As one's feeling the hands, just slightly lifting one's finger a little bit. Say, well, that's really light. That's the experience of lightness, heavy and light. Hard and soft, rough and smooth, heavy and light. These are the characteristic of the property of earth element that manifests in this way. But it's all earth element. And that as one contemplates, the water element, feeling of the inside of the mouth, of course, is damp, it's wet. One has to swallow saliva from time to time. It's a water element. In extrapolation, one knows that one has blood flowing through the whole body. It's water element. Experience of the fire element. Just as we're paying attention to the breath as it comes in and goes out. And breathing in, it feels slightly cool. As one's breathing out, the air has been warmed by the body, and one breathes out on the tip of the nose, the sensation feels a bit warm. It's just warmth and cool. One can go through the body and feel in different places where, say, maybe around the trunk, the torso, we have our clothes on, it feels warm. Where our hands or arms are exposed to the air, it's a little bit cooler. And heat and cold. It's just an element. And so that our body relies on these elements. It is these elements. And as we bring that contemplation in, realizing, yeah, whether it's internal or external, whether it's coarse or fine, subtle or gross, it's just earth element, water element, fire element, air element. It's not, it's a basis for conjuring up a sense of self, but in and of themselves, that reminder, that refrain that comes up in that the discourse on the characteristics of not self. This is not mine, I am not this, this is not myself. You know, it's such a powerful refrain to use. And again, when I say the contemplation of the body helps to make it tangible, helps to make it kind of more immediate. This is the experience, this is the reality, or this is not self. But we also extend it by, say, a virtue of our contemplation, extrapolation. It extends to the experience of the aspects of mind. There's a discourse where the Buddha teaches his son Rahula. Rahula is about 18 years old at the time, and he's following the Buddha on alms round. And it said in the commentary that Rahula is kind of looking at the Buddha at the front of the line of the monastics that are going on alms round. And he's looking at them and sort of saying, wow. Because the Buddha would have been kind of just past mid-40s. He'd have been kind of the prime, really, of his physical, mental teaching career. And Rahula sort of think, wow, you know, like Buddha, he's kind of majestic, he's really good looking. I'm his son, I'm pretty good myself, you know. That's pretty good. And then the Buddha turns around at that point. And it says to Rahula, you should be contemplating form, physical form, as internal or external. Gross says, this is not mine. This is not. I am not this. This is not myself. And then Rahula sort of said, just form, venerable sir. And I said, feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness also, and contemplate them in this way. And then Rahula, in the sutta, then Rahula reflects, who can, after having been admonished by the Blessed One, how could I go on alms round and eat food? I better go off and meditate. And so he goes off and meditates for the day. And then in the evening, Sariputta sees him. That's very, because Sariputta comes along later, and it's really interesting because Sariputta is always, it is said that he was always the last to leave on alms round, because he would always go around the monastery and check and make sure everything was neat and tidy, put away, and then he'd go off on alms round, which I find really inspiring, that somebody who is the foremost in wisdom and knowledge, that kind of circumspection in investigation carries through to external practicalities. So then Sariputta sees Rahula sitting under a tree, and he says, encourages him to be diligent in practicing mindfulness of breathing. And Rahula spends the day meditating, practicing, and then in the afternoon comes and pays respects to the Buddha and asks how to contemplate and develop mindfulness of breathing. And the Buddha immediately goes to the actually five elements in that discourse, the four primary elements, and then the element of space as well, and then encourages Rahula to pick up the theme of the element contemplation in conjunction with mindfulness of breathing, picking up the contemplation of internalizing it and perceiving elements internally and externally. And that's in the refrain of sort of, you know, whether it is internal or external, it is just earth element. Whether it's internal or external, it's just water element, fire element, air element, space element. So that's a encouragement that that the Buddha gave, to his own son, in practice and as the cultivation, the development of this contemplation of the elements. And it's always seen as a doorway to not self. Always seen as a doorway to that realization of anatta. And because it's a tangible way of recognizing all of these different things that we identify with, all of the different things and the different ways that we identify, they can be broken down, they can be separated, they can be kind of pulled apart in terms of an investigation, and we can start to really recognize, this is not mine, I am not this, this is not myself. And you see the action or the kind of the impulse behind the identification, and we can relinquish that more easily. So this contemplation of elements, picking it up, making it real, it's another one of the tools that are part of the Buddha's array of skillful means that we have the opportunity to employ.